Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Well, the one thing Steve Kerr can get like feel really good when his head hits the pillow tonight is that the last two nights, and I know you know him much better than I do, Tom, but I know that he is a fierce competitor and wants to win every game he's involved in. But he can, you know, as he lays down to sleep tonight, he can say, okay, I know my guys played hard. And they played hard both of these games last night, just overmanned last night by an excellent San Antonio squad. And tonight, a very good Cleveland team. And they gave themselves a chance to win. And right now, with their injury situation, that's all you can ask.
I think for the most part, over the last few weeks, it's been that way since they've been, I mean, really depleted. They've gone out there and they've played the right way. They've played hard. You've seen some guys really step up. Guy Santos, Bajemski. I mean, so you have no qualms with that. I mean, they're just not talented enough. I mean, you look at the starting lineup versus the Cavaliers starting lineup, and Cavaliers starting lineup is one of the better starting lineups in the league. Certainly offensively, but I still think it's one of the most talented offensive or one of the most talented starting lineups. So all you can ask is play the right way, try to be on a string, help each other out, trust each other, and let's go take a swing at it and see where we land. And for the most part, they've hung in games. I've talked before about the games they've won where they were underdogs and maybe people didn't think they were going to win, people including myself, and they managed to win. That's because they play together, they play the right way, they play hard. They're just, I mean, I hate saying they're not talented enough. It sounds harsh, but look, I was one of those players, and you know when you're not as good as the opposition and they're a little more stacked and a little healthier than you are. And so that will benefit them. Maybe not even this year. Maybe it's next year where it benefits them, and now their rotation can be 10, 11 deep, and you really feel like we're not stretching to get to 10. We have 10 quality players, and that will be because of this year and going out there. And look, a lot of times guys go out there and play the wrong way when they get minutes and they're big underdogs. They just feel like, let me get mine. I'll do this. I'll try to save us. I'll try to be the hero. There hasn't been a lot of hero ball. It's been, hey, let's pass it. Let's run the offense. Let's work the offense and see where we're at. So I don't think he has, again, any complaints about that at all. When he gets into the heat of the moment, he's still going to get mad at some of the guys for maybe some passes or maybe some of the things they do defensively, because that's what, you know, competitors do. They don't really care who's on the court. They just know you're in their uniform, and you expect them to do certain things where some guys just can't do certain things. If they could, they'd get paid $60 million a year. There's only a few of those guys in the league. So, yeah, I sitting up here watching on TV when you're on the road, that's the one thing that's impressed me over the last few weeks, is they generally play hard and the right way.
You know, it's and again, I think we're learning, and I hate to bang this drum again, but we're learning about certain guys, and I think one of them is Guy Santos. But, you know, I think they've also found out, you know, that he's going to have to figure out his role defensively. He's got to figure out his role with his ball handling. But I think, you know, you could play LJ Cryer with certain lineups next year because of the fact that he can really shoot the ball. And he can, you know, knock down open shots. He's undersized. But I think if you have the right people around him, I think he could be a player that they could, you know, maybe not starters minutes, but certainly they could play him, no question.
Yeah, I like his grittiness.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid. He comes out there and he's ready to ball. I mean, it should come as no surprise when you play for Kelvin Sampson. He also played for Baylor.
Baylor, yeah, yeah, exactly.
So played for two teams that demand defense, and he just – no, I like. You're right. I like him. I don't know if it would be like a consistent role,
right?
But it's a role, and he's the guy that if need be – you could put him in there, and he could bet. Defensively, you have to figure out, okay, what is he, and what are the deficiencies, and what kind of lineups can I put him out there with? Because he's not a big guy. But offensively, again, he is not afraid. He will take big shots. He will make big shots. And I agree with you on that one.
So, Sunday.
Sunday.
We could see Steph Curry back on the floor.
We could.
How cool would that be?
That would be great. That would be like two people rising on one day.
Yes, it'd be pretty very amazing. Nice. So, very nice.
What? I told RC I've been waiting to unload that one. So he better come back because I have to wait another year to use. Like, this is the only time I'm going to be able to use that one.
He's been waiting for the Penn State basketball program to come back. He thinks it's Lazarus. They think they're going to come back. And
wrapping up.
I don't even care about seating or positioning or where. I just want to watch him play. It's just fun. It's just so much fun to watch play. You just want to watch him play. Because ultimately, that's kind of what basketball is about anyway, isn't it? We get so caught up in championships and big picture stuff and all-time stuff and where does he rank and where does he – it's a game. It's fun. Like, you want to be entertained. And that guy is one of the greatest entertainers we've seen on a basketball court. So just at that level, forget about the seating. Just enjoy when he comes back, because who knows how many more times you're going to get to watch him.
Absolutely.
And he is such an entertainer and does things that other people can't do. And that's what it's all about.
And the other thing is, he keeps himself in such tremendous shape that even at this stage of his career, when he's on the floor, the Warriors have a puncher's chance to beat anybody.
Anybody.
They went down to San Antonio, and he scored 96 points in two games.
Yes, he did.
96 in two games, and lit that place up. They couldn't find him. He was like a blur. And they beat the same Spurs team you saw last night. And I'm telling you, it's you know, you gotta revel in this and then realize that, like you said, you know, it's winding down. There's no way around it. It's winding down. And so anytime you get a chance to see him play, you've got to take advantage of that, because he's a special once-in-a-lifetime player who, again, has changed the game. He has changed the way we play the game. I was speaking to Jeff Adiago, who runs the Warrior basketball camps, and the Warriors shoot 360 before the game, and you know, I was asking him about it because he sees all the little kids. He says what he's done is he's given all these kids hope that they can play basketball, where before they said, well, I'm not big enough. But now they say, okay, I'm going to work on my handle. I'm going to work on my jump shot. I'm going to work on my skills, and then maybe I can play, whether it be at the grade school level, the high school level, the college level, whatever. And I think he's done that. He's one of the few players in the history of the game that has literally changed the way we look at the game.
Yeah. That's what they used to say about me. Never gets out of shape. Always in great shape. No matter when you drop him on the court. He can give you 30 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, you think about the way he's changed the game.
I think we should do one of your shows with all your former coaches and let me sit on this and grill them.
That would not be great for me. That would not be great. It'd be funny.
It'd be funny.
It'd be really funny. It would not be good for yours truly here. I'd just be getting pilloried. From post to post.
By the way, as well as Steph coming back on Sunday, which we hope is going to happen, and it's going to be great.
And the Lord.
And the Lord, yes. Yeah, thank you, RC.
Yep, thank you.
Your alma mater.
I'll handle the jokes.
RC's the setup, man. Yeah. Your alma mater plays Saturday.
They do. What a Titanic game that's going to be. And holy cow, them versus Michigan.
They remind me a little bit of the way you guys play. They're not a, like, you know, three-point bomb-away team like we see a lot of teams play in college now. They're kind of a, you know, get the ball inside, we're going to grind you a little bit.
Yeah, no, they're old-school smash-mouth basketball. Of course, we had one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time in college basketball.
Absolutely.
Stephen Douglas.
And one of the better athlete scorers in Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott, yeah. I think Sean won the John Wooden Award, actually, the year after that. It was so funny because I was doing the show with Steve a couple days ago, and he was talking about something, and he was talking about how in the NBA you got teams that shoot so many threes. Like, I was shooting so many threes, and I told him, and I won't say the curse word that I use, but I'm like, you're the one that shoots all the threes. What are you talking about? You guys lead the league in three-point attempts. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Don't complain. Don't say, like, what they're shooting. You're the one shooting three-point shot. But with that team was so well balanced. I mean, Craig McMillan was a McDonald's All-American from Cloverdale.
Yep.
Fantastic players. Sean McDonald's All-American, then Anthony Cook and myself. But, yeah, we were – I mean, look, the game back then hadn't fully formed as far as – like, the three-point shot was there, but it wasn't utilized that much.
Right.
Like, for us, Steve shot probably five a game, maybe. Maybe. Craig shot a few. Sean shot a few. Couple here and there, but it was mostly, you know, Sean getting to the hole,
right?
Me, I was second on the team in scoring. Anthony was an inside guy, so I mean, that's the way basketball was played back then. So it's kind of fun to watch these teams, and Michigan's the same way. Now, Michigan can shoot threes, and they shoot them better than Arizona, which worries me a little bit, but they're both massive teams who really get the ball inside, and
you guys also had like Sean Rooks coming off the bench, right?
Sean Rooks came off the. He played a. I'm trying to think how much Sean played. He didn't play a ton.
No,
Joe Turner was the guy that played
right
behind me and behind.
Also
AC.
Had a cup of coffee.
R.I.P. Sean
NBA.
Rooks too. Great guy. And then we had Judd.
Right.
Kenny Lofton, one of the greatest leadoff hitters of all time. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think Kenny should be in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, what a fun team that was.
Loaded.
But it's interesting when you look at the Final Four, other than UConn, Illinois, they're big.
Yeah.
Michigan, big. Arizona, big. It's interesting that size now is kind of back in vogue. It hasn't
size matters, Tom.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've heard that somewhere
jokes
before.
Jokes go to Tommy.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
Oh, man. You're stepping on my territory over here.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
But
we'll back off.
It's kind of fun to see that. It's kind of fun to see, like, because that's been my and everybody else. Well, I shouldn't say everybody else. A lot of people that are fine with the way the game is and. I say two things. I'll borrow a Ralph saying here. Two things can be equally true. I can enjoy watching the NBA today, and I can still think there's some things they need to work on.
Right.
Like, to me, they need to figure out the three-point shot.
Right.
Because it's just going to keep getting more and more. It's not going down.
No.
Three-point attempts aren't going down. They're going to keep going up because efficiency, analytics, all that stuff. So I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, they're not going to widen the courts. They're not doing that with the way the arenas are configured. So I don't know what to do, but I tell people I miss watching Bird work inside the 3-point line. I miss watching Magic do his stuff. I miss watching Kareem. I miss watching a guy like Jack Sigma who had the reverse pivot. I mean, we had so many different moves inside the paint, and you see none of that today, or I should say, very little of it today. Because what do people do? Two guys go to the corner,
right?
High pick and roll, and let's go ahead. Can you imagine if you took away the high pick and roll? People would be like,
Well, the thing is now, the reason why all those players had all those moves was that they didn't see a benefit of taking a three. So they were going to work as hard as they could to get a good two. And in back in the day, you know, coaches back then said, no, you can't take a three. You know, only the Dale Ellis's and the Reggie Millers and Steve Kerr could take three. Mike Brotz. By the way, Stanford star. I worked with him in Sacramento, and he's a great trivia question.
Is he?
He was the last player to wear 23 for the Chicago Bulls.
No way.
Before Michael Jordan.
Wow.
How about that?
I'm glad I know that now. I would have never got that.
Yeah.
Mike
good guy.
Brotz.
Really good guy.
Wow, that's incredible.
Great shooter, by the way. Great shooter.
Absolutely.
So.
And when Hassett?
Oh, Sonar.
Another three-point guy.
I saw him playing college at Providence. He was a Friar.
Yeah,
he was so good a shooter that Dave Gavitt, who was coaching Providence at the time, Dave Gavitt, who was he basically invented the Big East, right? And back in the day, he brought this guy, Bill Misevicius or something like that. Really a long name that had lots of consonants and very few vowels. And he would come out, 6'10 guy, would come out and set a screen for Joe Hassett about 22, 23 feet away from the bucket. Just come out, boom, set this huge screen. He would get a little daylight, bang, just knock down a shot.
And don't forget
crazy.
John Sunbold.
Oh, John Sunbold. Yes.
Yeah, anytime back in the early 80s you saw a team had like a 6'3 white guy, you're like, oh, that guy can shoot threes. That guy's a three-point shooter. It was a given. Oh, that guy could shoot three.
RC, HR, or something like that. Too.
That guy could shoot.
And I bet he was heady, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Coach's son. Coach's son. Oh, yeah. Gym rat.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You guys are brutal. But remember when you shot a three back then, it'd be like almost like, oh.
Yeah.
Someone shoot. He's shooting a three.
Or
he just shot a three.
Who was the guy? And he kind of was a pioneer because he didn't have a great NBA game, but he started shooting threes and knocking down McLeod. Who was the guy?
George McLeod.
He started knocking
George
down threes
McLeod.
And kept himself in the league for a few years because he could do that. I mean, he was like, wow, look at George McLeod. He's knocking down threes, hitting shots.
I've always wondered, and this is after poker, so it doesn't really make a difference, but I've always wondered what our Run TMC team would have looked like.
We already
played small. If
goodness.
Nelly would have said, you know what, let's shoot 33s a game. Because we could all shoot threes. I mean, I could.
Higgins.
Mully. Hardaway.
Richmond.
Mitch.
Sharunas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I hate when people say, well, they couldn't shoot threes. I'm like, no, they didn't shoot threes.
Yeah.
Nobody asked them to shoot threes.
Oh, Rod Higgins, Chris Mullin would light up threes.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
And that's something that I look at saying, now, that would have negated our size disadvantage because we were just going 2 for 2 against these massive teams and getting pummeled on the boards. But that three-point line, that's the great equalizer, but it just wasn't. It wasn't quite there yet. People didn't quite embrace it. Analytics hadn't gotten to the action yet, so it's still. Well, again, when you shot a three back, I kid you not, I said it earlier in the game. You shot a three and you missed it, you felt like, oh, I'm going to get taken out or something because it was such an abnormal shot back in the day.
I've heard Steve say this in a lot of his press conferences this year, where he says, "Well, yeah, all my older coaches were wrong. You know, they kept saying, no, we're not going to shoot. You know, we're not going to shoot that. You know, no, they were wrong. We need to shoot that." So
no, absolutely.
All right, man. We'll see you on Sunday. Good luck to your
Easter
Wildcats. Yeah.
Somebody going to bring in a ham?
You
want to bring in a ham?
Yeah, he's going to bring in a ham. It's a sponsor.
Easter Bunny's going to come by the house, too, and hide eggs for us.
Is your bunny going to be put to work?
On Saturday night. The bunny will be outside enjoying Easter.
Okay.
Bunny needs to be outside on Sunday, but the Easter Bunny will be, because we have Camila, Easter Bunny will drop on by and do a little the little Easter egg hunt. I might smoke something.
We're going to bring over Bad Bunny for brunch. So.
Bad Bunny.
Name one song. Not a chance.
Not a chance.
See you Sunday.
That's Tom Tolbert. I'm Tim Roy. Warriors lose tonight 118-111.